Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. It's Tuesday, the Tuesday after UFC 300. And Jordan, we have a lot to discuss from that pay-per-view.
How about a card living up to the hype that it was supposed to live up to?
Yeah,
absolutely. UFC 300 delivered.
Absolutely it did. It was, you know, we kind of talked about leading up to it how it was missing a big main event, like a big name, but despite that, it absolutely delivered from the very first fight. Was great. We didn't get the Jim fucking Miller, which was kind of a disappointment, but you had Deiveson Figueiredo win by submission. Bobby Green beat Jim Miller. Jessica Andrade won. One of our props of the night, one of my props of the night hit. So one out of three hit. And our parlay hit.
Parlay cashed.
Yeah, yes. So that's we're in the money. And there's certain times where you make a bet and you don't mind being on the losing end. And you're like, Adam, that's crazy. What do you mean? I was wrong. I picked Justin Gaethje to win by knockout. I have no problem losing that bet and watching that fight till the very end.
That fight was just fucking awesome.
Like it was insane. It was insane. So the one bet that I'm mad about, and I will carry this with me every time we talk about him, is Bo Nickel submitting Cody Brundage and not going for the knockout.
Yeah, I think there were three examples of it. I think the one that we were really adamant about, though, was that this was a fight that was supposed to showcase Bo Nickel, his maturity in the sport, how he's evolved, and this was a showcase fight for him. And he won. He dominated like he was supposed to, but it was kind of like, you know,
it wasn't the same.
He didn't really... He didn't really look great. And I will admit, this was the one fight that I did not watch up until like moments before Bo Nickel finished Cody Brundage, because I, at the time, was putting my son to bed. I tried to coordinate it so I wouldn't have any interference with that or whatever. I wasn't able to, so I missed it. But apparently he got tagged at some point early on in the fight. And that would have made the Fat Jack experience like an absolute killer evening. If Bo Nickel won that fight via knockout and won that fight via knockout in the first round. It was still a winning night. You still were plus money. You played all of our selections.
Plus the parlay?
Plus the parlay, plus your prop of the night.
One of them.
You know, things were going well, so then I threw in, you know, we talked about Kayla Harrison via submission, so I went on that. But then you could argue, like, you know, Diego Lopez, like, had Sadiq Youssef, like, had his back, like I talked about. Diego Lopez takes people's backs, what he does. But he decided to punch his face into oblivion instead of grabbing his neck for the rear naked choke.
No, he did, absolutely. And that was a great fight. The Aljamain Sterling fight against Calvin Kattar was very good too. But just let's talk about real quick Oliveira losing to Armin Sarukian in a split decision. I thought that fight could have gone either way. Like honestly, I was like, oh man, I feel bad for these judges. Like it looked like Sarukian was going to win, but it just felt like Oliveira got the second round and could have had a chance to outlast Sarukian, but he just didn't. Split decision for Sarukian.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it, and they were talking about it on the broadcast. What value do you put in submissions? Because Charles Oliveira was in clear domination in that first round. He had that guillotine locked in. It was very surprising that Sarukian was able to get out of that. Oliveira then had him in that Darce choke late in the third round that, you know, perhaps if the fight had gone 10, 15 more seconds, Sarukian would have tapped. But I think in a lot of people's opinion, that second round, which was the one clear round, and that was the clear round for Armin Sarukian, where he was on top of Oliveira for a majority of the fight. He He opened him up with those elbows. That round is actually why Sarukian was handicapped the way that he was. That was a microcosm of how the fight was going to how a lot of people thought it was going to play out. Sarukian controlling, not necessarily looking for a finish, but just dominating, you know, cutting up Oliveira, and en route to a unanimous decision victory. So I don't obviously, as a selfish Charles Oliveira lover,
yeah,
I'm pissed that he couldn't get the submission or he didn't get the nod, but I get it. I get the fact. And that's why I couldn't release it as a preferred play, mm-hmm. because I just didn't have the confidence that Charles Oliveira was going to be able to withstand those takedowns and that control that Armin Sarukian had. And look, like Armin Sarukian, he's kind of a punk because the news lines are – the headlines are out there that he was offered – UFC 302, granted it's a quick turnaround, but UFC 302 with Islam Makhachev, he said no.
Yeah.
So Dustin Poirier is, you know, locked and loaded now to try and reclaim his lightweight championship of the world. And I think, look, if I'm in Armin Sarukian's camp, you maybe reconsider that and try and take the fight when you can.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's keep recapping UFC 300 here. We'll get to the next fight, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. What a fight. Like, it's fight of the year. I don't care what happens the rest of the year. It's fight of the year. Like, just those two going back and forth. Max Holloway earning himself an extra $400,000. Like, it's crazy.
$600,000.
$600,000. Yeah. He got both bonuses. They both got fight of the night bonus, and then he got performance of the night bonus. And it absolutely was fight of the night. It's probably going to be fight of the year. Put that fight right into the Hall of Fame, because I know they put fights themselves into the Hall of Fame. Max Holloway calling out Justin Gaethje and pointing to the middle of the octagon and them just going punch for punch for punch for the last 15 seconds of that fight until Holloway lands one with 1 second left and knocks out Justin Gaethje, puts his face to the mat, and it was over. Like, what a cool way to end a fight.
It was a holy shit moment. You don't get a lot of those anymore, or, you know, sometimes you do, but that was just awesome. And just the performance by Holloway as well. We talked about the leg kicks being an issue for him. Justin Gaethje throws them, and he was throwing them early. Holloway walked through them. We had talked about in the podcast, Holloway looked great. You know, the fight week leading up, did he put on the lightweight weight correctly this time? That was our one concern. I think that's why he was handicapped as the underdog, because he didn't look great his first experience at lightweight. But obviously, second time's a charm. And he was brilliant, just walking through fire and just eating everything and controlling Justin Gaethje. And now Max Holloway can do whatever the fuck he wants. He wants to fight at 145 against Ilia Topuria, who, by the way, also punk. You see all the crowd reaction?
Yeah.
Every fighter that reacted, they had the camera on Israel Adesanya and Tom Aspinall.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like in shock as fans and clapping and going crazy. Ilia Topuria's like, fuck, now I got to fight that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's like, I don't want to fight him at all. But look, if Max Holloway doesn't want to fight that, and maybe he wants to consider a career at lightweight, go right ahead, Max. You can have it. If he wants to wait for the winner of Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler,
yeah,
great. Go ahead. Like, whatever you want to do, Max, you can do because of that performance.
Absolutely. Hey, fight of the year. It was so cool to watch. Zhang Weili wins and cashes our parlay. That was the last leg of a lot of our parlays. I know I had a couple out there. You had a couple out there. So shout out to her for taking care of business. We were texting back and forth, debating cash, you know, taking screenshots of each other's cash out options. We're like, no, let it ride. Just let it ride. Let it ride.
And it got a little dicey too.
It did.
Like,
absolutely
round,
did. Yeah.
She looked gassed and like, you know, and then the broadcast doesn't do any favors, which, by the way, like, is one of the reasons why I don't sometimes like listening to Rogan and Cormier, because, you know, they could just make you think one thing or another. But look, those live betting lines, mm-hmm. that's what I pay attention to. Weili went like down to like $1.25 favorite at one point, you know, in round three. And she finished her three times. Like, Zhang Yelnan was asleep after the first round.
Yeah.
Then in the second round, like, Jason Herzog could have stopped that fight if he wanted to. He didn't. That's what would have been pissed off, because we had Weili, you know, plus mm-hmm. 150 to finish via TKO,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think that I might have to handicap these a little bit differently now. Like, Figueiredo was looking for the knockout. He knocked him down, but then he went for the submission. Maybe I just do inside the distance, because the nickel – the Figueiredo and the Weili fight, like, okay, you know, maybe the odds go down a little bit, obviously value, but we're still picking the fight correctly.
Yeah.
In the fighter to win via finish. But yeah, Weili looked great, dominated as she should, and thank God, because yeah, she was that final leg of that six fight parlay that was made the evening that even better.
And then our main event, I handicapped this as a veteran handicapper in the UFC game, Jordan. Mm-hmm. I had this pegged perfectly. My only regret is not betting Pereira by knockout in the first round, because that would have jumped the money up there even more. But just the way that the press conferences went, when he came out in the full headdress with his face painted, there was no doubt in my mind that he was going to knock Jamahal Hill into the shadow realm. Like, and he did it, and in the coolest way possible. Like, the absolute coolest way to knock someone out. You get hit with a low blow, you get kicked in the dick, and then you wave off the ref. You go, no. Stay right there, and you proceed to knock the crap out of Jamahal Hill. Like, it was so fun to watch. Like, it's one of the coolest things in UFC I've ever seen, is to just say, nope, don't need to stop. In fact, I'm going to knock the crap out of him right now and end this right now. Oh, and then I'm going to turn around and say, I want to fight in 3 weeks.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the next punch he threw knocks out Jamahal Hill. And and then the reaction afterwards, like, look what I did. I told you I was going to do this. You made me do this, with his hand gestures. Mm-hmm. And then walked. Yeah. Again, don't know if the UFC is going to give him the fight, but I'll ask this question to you, because I saw it posted online, and it might be true. Is Alex Pereira now the biggest star in the UFC that's fighting currently?
Ooh, I mean,
Jones is not, and Conor McGregor
okay.
is not.
That's fighting. Yeah, here's the problem. I always think of stars as not necessarily by how good they are, right? Okay, like, to me, Mike Trout is the best baseball. What was? I don't think he is right now because he's getting older. But for a very long time, was the best baseball player in Major League Baseball. But he wasn't the star. He wasn't right. The face of baseball. Just because you're good, and in the way that Alex Pereira is, he's still not the biggest star. I mean, technically the biggest. I mean, fighting. I mean, Conor McGregor's still the biggest star in the UFC. Conor McGregor's still the biggest star. Mm-hmm. He's fighting, technically. Yep. I mean, there's a date. He's got an opponent. So he is still, I think when John Jones comes back, he's a bigger star, because it's about personality. You know, it's about, like, I think Volkanovski for a while was one of the biggest stars in UFC, because it's about having the personality. It's about riling up the crowd. It's about giving a good press conference. Like, Pereira, part of it may have to do with the language barrier, but at the same time, he's just a very stoic, take care of business kind of guy, and I think that makes him scarier, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, well, he also doesn't speak English.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the language barrier is probably, like, a thing. But, right. I mean, you know, leading up to it, if you follow the UFC on Instagram, he was doing, like, funny videos. Like, he was doing a lot of content trying to show personality. It's just not there. Like, I think he's a must-watch, but I don't think he's one of the biggest stars in UFC by my standards, because my standards are likeability, watchability, and then, like, command of the room. You know, like, you, like, yes, everyone's going to stop and watch Alex Pereira, but I'm not going to check up on what Alex Pereira is doing. Like, Alex Pereira is not releasing videos on Instagram leading up to the fight. You know, he's doing all the content that UFC wants, but, like, he's not like Conor McGregor, who's showboating and all that kind of stuff. He's not like Jamahal Hill, who's out there showboating and talking and everything like that. He's the guy that knocks those guys out.
Fair point. He is the must-watch fighter currently we have
in
the UFC.
Yeah, I think that's a difference.
And the UFC has to figure out a way to get him in 3 weeks. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're in favor of it.
Why not? What's the worst that's going to happen? He loses? So what?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, people lose. People lose.
Yeah, people lose. That's what happens.
But, yeah, he was great. Cash in the way that he did. And look, you know, just real quick on his division too. Another guy that cashed as a dog was brilliant. Was Jiří Procházka. I mean, that fight was crazy too. Great. He did not look good early, and then all of a sudden he just ninjas Alexander Rocic and finishes him in such impressive fashion.
It would would behoove the UFC to get Pereira to fight, because Pantoja against Ursig, is that how you say his name?
Ursig, yeah.
That's not getting me to buy this fight.
A Brazil fight card.
Yeah, you need to ride this wave. You need to ride this wave of having the greatest card ever assembled in UFC history, and you need to ride the wave and have Pereira fight. If he wants to do it, why not do it? Like, that's what I don't understand. If they were pressuring him to fight and they were saying, hey, you know, we want you to do this, and he was like, no, you know, the foot's not feeling good, you know, I got to train and all that. He wants to fight. Let him fight.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not offering to put up his title. You know, he just wants to go up and fight at heavyweight. It doesn't have to be Aspinall for the interim.
No.
Strap, have him fight a top 10 heavyweight.
And you don't have to make it the main event, because the main event's obviously for a belt. It's for the flyweight championship, but it could be the co-main event.
Yeah, you don't need Jose Aldo, who, yes, I know he's the king of Rio, but he retired like twice. Like, we don't need him in the Cole headlining spot against Jonathan Martinez.
No.
So, no, thank you.
Paul Craig on the card.
Paul Craig, Verju, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. There's that.
Renato Moicano.
Yeah.
Renato Moicano is much watch, because if he wins the fight, he's going to do what he did every time on the microphone. And Jalen Turner, idiot. Like, you know, don't walk off. I mean, you know, you wanted to walk off KO 300K, but you got to go ahead and finish the fight. But Moicano cashing is plus 1,600 to win by TKO. That was a nice little play that I put on the side, and it cashed.
Yeah, I saw that Holloway to win by knockout in the fifth round was 75-1 or something like that. Like, it was something crazy like that.
Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, so that's UFC 300. What's that, Lassie? We got some news. So it's not breaking news, but it was announced at UFC 300 at the post press conference that the next few main events that are going to take place, you have got Conor McGregor, the biggest one, because we just talked about him, the biggest name in MMA, is Conor McGregor against Michael Chandler, UFC 303, June 29th in Las Vegas. That is the annual International Fight Week, and that is going to be the next time we see Conor McGregor fight.
You excited they got it booked? Excited they made the announcement? The most important thing for me is that it's actually at welterweight. There was a rumor going around that it was going to be at 185, which really would have frustrated me, because, A, that's two weight classes above typically what Michael Chandler fights. It's a one weight class above what now Conor McGregor is fighting at welterweight. So thankfully they got it booked. Fill out that rest of the card with some other intriguing fights. Don't just have it be that and a bunch of other crap, but I'm happy they finally got it booked.
Yes, I am too. I think that, you know, McGregor's a big draw. You're going to get everybody to watch that fight. You're going to get a bunch of people that normally wouldn't follow the UFC to follow that night because of McGregor, because of his popularity. And they just want to see, you know, what he looks like after a very lengthy layoff, right? The other fight that was announced is UFC 302. That main event, Islam Makhachev against Dustin Poirier. This one is going to be a very good fight.
I think. I mean, maybe a little bit of a question mark just about Poirier. Yes, he was good against Benoit St. Denis his last time. But before that, he got, you know, knocked out by Justin Gaethje. Gaethje should have been fighting for the championship because of that, but he took on the BMF route. So, interesting fight. I think Makhachev should roll in that one. The other one that I'm intrigued in is, hopefully he shows up, but the middleweight fight between Sean Strickland and Paulo Costa that was also announced for that fight card. It'll be fantastic middleweight fight if Paulo Costa is looking right and ready to go. He's always an intriguing guy at 185.
No, yeah, and those were the three fights that were announced mid press conference. Someone handed, this is all staged. I love the theatrics, but like, oh, we all of a sudden got these fights booked at the last minute after UFC 300 during the post fight
like
press conference.
Dana gets handed a piece of paper.
Yeah, like, come on, guys. Like, we know this was decided a week ago or something, whatever, and you were just holding it off until after UFC 300. To announce these fights. So the whole UFC 300 card wasn't talking about McGregor, right? Because that would have been like the main talking point as well. In, you know, a couple months, McGregor's going to be fighting.
Exactly. And I'm happy they got that. Hopefully that he makes the walk, because he's must see.
Yeah.
He's must see. It'll be the biggest pay-per-view, or if not the second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
with him fighting.
Let's see. Just check the scrolling here. No fight for Bilal Muhammad.
Did you see what he posted? He posted. No, he showed a picture of his phone. 301, 302, 303, 304.
He's ready. I mean, he's ready. I let him fight. Where's Leon?
Well, that was funny.
Did you see the posters going? Did you see the posters going around UFC 300?
No.
There were. Someone was putting flyers on cars and stapling them to light poles and stuff. It was missing, like a missing poster, and it was Leon Edwards.
Was it Bilal?
I don't know. It might. Maybe not. I don't know. Someone's out there doing work.
I'll tell you what, though. They did announce that they're trying to do that pay-per-view in, what, Birmingham, I think?
Yeah.
Down the road, mm-hmm. Towards the latter half of the year, mm-hmm. with Aspinall and also with Leon Edwards. So I think that's probably going to be where he fights.
It's so far away, though. Yeah. That should be a good one if they ever announce it. But some news, some recaps from UFC 300. No fight card this week. For the UFC, a long deserved rest, I guess, for the people at UFC. The next one we have is a UFC fight night, April 27th. So next weekend, it is Mateus Nicolau against Alex Perez, and I'm trying to look. I don't know who any of these other people are.
No, you do. And I'm going to throw one out right now.
Tim Means,
you know, yeah, I'm going to throw out one right now for you. I've already seen it, and I like the odds. Hani Yahya is a plus, 400 underdog against Victor Henry. And Henry's a grappler, and Hani Yahya is a wizard on the ground. So it's just a question if Yahya can withstand the cardio. So early play, early lean.
Mm-hmm.
Hani Yahya, plus 400.
Take some of the winnings from the parlay and sprinkle it on Hani Yahya, plus 450 right now against Victor Henry. That is the final fight of the prelims for this UFC fight night coming up next week. And then after that, we have UFC 301, Pantoja versus Usyk, which we talked about a little bit. That's going to be the Brazil. And hopefully next week when we do the podcast, the preview for the UFC fight night, maybe we have an Alex Pereira fight to announce for that pay-per-view for 301. Who knows?
That would really make my day.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I don't understand why they won't do it. Just do it. Just do it. All the cool kids are doing it. Just do it. Right?
I'm on board.
All right.
I'm going to go rewatch the Holloway final 10 seconds.
Dude, I've watched the other one. I've watched the Pereira knockout so many. Because, it's the wave-off. The wave-off is the best part.
Yeah,
and then afterwards, the hands at the end being like you said, you made me do this. You did all the talking, and I'm finally happy to have correctly handicapped a fight. I'm taking the victory lap along with. I'll take Pereira's victory lap. If he doesn't have enough emotion to do it, I will do it for him.
He doesn't have any emotion.
Well, that's why he's
my next victim.
Exactly. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Make sure you sign up for Fat Jack Sports. Get all of Jordan's picks there. He's been hot the last 2 weeks. Jordan's been hot. So make sure you sign up for the next week's plays. FatJackSports.com. NBA playoffs are starting. The play-in tournament starts tonight. Baseball's been on fire, so make sure you sign up there. FatJackSports.com. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll talk to you next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.